All right, before I get going tonight, I need to survey the congregation here to make sure that I'm talking to the right set of people. How many of you here tonight have an absolutely perfect body? Everything works perfectly. You have perfect vision, perfect hearing. You are not 1 ounce overweight or underweight. Your immune system is so effective that you don't even catch the common cold. Raise your hand. Got the right crowd. Huh? Hold on to that thought. How many of you here tonight think that if you keep working at it, one day in this lifetime, you will achieve a perfect body? I got the right congregation.
I'm pretty close.
How many times have you heard someone say when a baby is born, oh, that child is so beautiful, he or she is absolutely perfect? Do you hear that one on a regular basis? If that's the case, what happened? What changed? How is it that they go from being perfect to everyone here tonight says, I'm not perfect? Did your mom say of you when you were born that you were the perfect? Probably, yeah. So that's why you're so close then.
But I've been working on it for
10 years. Well, there goes my theory. I got the right congregation. We tend to look at those little babies and we say, yes, they are perfect, because generally speaking, everything's working the way it should be working. And unless they come out and they're 30 pounds or something like that, or they're 2 pounds at normal delivery time, they are perfect, so to speak. But if an organ is malformed or not working, what do we say? They were born with a birth defect. I want to challenge you tonight and say, I don't think that is necessarily the right description. I think a better description is they are born with a birth defect. It's a matter of perspective. I am coming up on 7 years since my heart attack and bypass operation. I have said on repeated occasions that my operation, I went into with the idea that I was going to have an opportunity to experience the grace of God like I've never experienced it before. So much so that I was actually looking forward to the operation. I can honestly say this, I had no fear whatsoever of what was going to transpire. I was looking forward to seeing what was going to transpire. Perspective. Tonight, our miracle that we're studying in the life of the Lord Jesus and his earthly ministry is found in John chapter 9. And it's a boy that was born with what most people would call a defect. But I am going to suggest to you tonight, he was born with an effect, which gave him the opportunity to experience the grace of God like few others have. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In the Jewish mind, if a child was born with some type of infirmity, it had to be caused by some act of sin. And the question here from the disciples was, who was the one that was responsible for his sin? Now, the only way they could ask Jesus this question is if they believed that Jesus was God. Because how would anybody other than God know the answer to the question? You have somebody that denies the deity of Christ and you want to get away from the theological arguments, take them to these two verses here and ask them who else could know who the cause of the defect or effect was other than God. That proves his deity right there. Nonetheless, they ask the question, who's responsible? Now, it was also believed that a child could actually sin while in the womb of the mother. In fact, some believe that every time the child kicked, it was because it was committing an act of sin. That's what was believed. So they're asking the question of cause and effect relationship here. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now let me stop for just a second here and say that Jesus is not denying that sin takes place in the lives of either the parents or this boy. All he is saying here is in response to the question in that he was born blind. And what he is saying is that there was no particular act of sin that caused this condition. But he said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It's not a defect, it's an effect. This boy was born blind for the very purpose that God could manifest a miracle in his life. He goes on to say, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then, beginning at verse 6, he begins to do the miracle. But let me stop for a second and give you a point that is necessary to remember. Every infirmity that a person experiences in life is a consequence of possessing a sin nature, but not necessarily a consequence of committing an act of sin. If Adam and Eve had never sinned in the Garden of Eden, when I asked the question tonight, who has a perfect body, every one of us would have raised their hand and said, I do, and you would have answered correctly. So perfect would our bodies be that we would all be the right weight, the right height, everything, you know, you'd have perfect vision, you would have perfect hearing. No one would like vegetables.
Okay.
No, I probably would like vegetables. We would be absolutely immune to sicknesses. In fact, I don't know that we'd have to have an immunity to sicknesses. I don't think there would be any to be immune from. We would all have perfect bodies. But because Adam and Eve sinned, we inherited a sin nature, and it's because of that, because of God's curse upon the world, this body doesn't work the way it should perfectly, and we're susceptible to the breaking down of the body. Now, can an act of sin cause physical problems? And the answer is absolutely. The Bible has numerous stories where people have committed acts of sin and God's inflicted all kinds of physical calamities upon them. Ananias and Sapphira wasn't just blindness or deafness or they caught a cold or the flu or something like that. In their lying to the Holy Spirit, God killed them. And he said to the Corinthians, that because of their disorder at the communion table, that some of them were weak and some of them were sick and some of them had even died because of acts of sin. Sin can cause physical problems. But a sin nature is at the root of all our physical problems. Fortunately, though, that gives God an opportunity to work, to show his power. Look what he does, verse 6. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. What caused the man to see. Some would say that there was therapeutic effects in the mud that he made, of taking the clay and mixing it with his saliva and anointing his eyes. The fact of the matter is that would make his vision even worse, if there was any. It was not good to rub. How many of you have ever gotten just a little speck of dirt in your eye? Drives you crazy. And for some, that's a shorter trip than others. But it's not a good thing. Why does your eye tear when you get dirt in it? It's because it's not supposed to be there. That's the eye. And here Jesus is rubbing his face with dirt, and it's caking up on there. There's a reason for that, and it's not therapeutic. Well, the water of Siloam had therapeutic effects to it, didn't it? Nope. There was nothing special about the waters of Siloam that had, at least therapeutically. Jim had a good study last Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you missed good study. And he made reference to the pool of Siloam. The water was just like any other water in the pool of Siloam, right? Just plain old water. And may I say to you that if you hear on TV or on the internet or wherever the case may be, someone trying to sell you some type of vial of miracle water, the person selling it is more vile than the container of the water. There is no such thing as miracle water. That water was just water. And the washing in it did nothing of a therapeutic value to giving this guy his sight. Why then did Jesus do that? Well, he wanted this fella to know two things. Number one, there's a problem with his eyes beyond the physical. The problem was sin in his life, that he was a sinner. And here's this dirt that needs to be washed away. In every single one of us, there is the sin, the defilement, the filth, the dirt of defilement of sin that needs to be washed away. And no man can take care of it himself. It needs to be washed. But he is told to go to a very specific place, the pool of Siloam. Could have gone to the Jordan River. That would have been the distance, but he could have gone there. Could have gone to the Sea of Galilee. Would have been even a greater distance, but he could have gone there. He could have gone home to a pot of water. Wouldn't have been that far. But those things weren't the washing that he needed. He had to go to a place of someone who was sent. And in context, he's speaking of himself as being sent by God for the remission of sins. This man needed to know that he had a problem of sin to deal with, and only Jesus could deal with it. He went, he did what Jesus told him to do, and consequently he came seeing. It was his faith that made him well. Every infirmity that we possess is caused ultimately by a sin nature. And the only thing that can cure us of that sin nature is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, though, something else here. Drop on down to verse 23. There's an interview with his parents and then afterwards with this young man himself. But his parents were being asked by the Pharisees what went on, and they're asking them how, the Pharisees are asking them how he received this miracle. And verse 23, they said, "Therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him." I did some research to find out what of age was. And the only reference I could find anywhere was that it said 30 years was the accepted time of being of age. This man was 30 years old when this miracle took place. For 30 years, he existed in his physical body with that problem. It was from birth. And nothing in that time period had ever cured him. Do you suppose his parents had tried to find a physical cure for him? Now, I would think if you have a child that has a physical problem, do you say, well, that's the way it is, que sera, sera, just let it go. You try and find a cure. There is no cure apart from the one that Jesus offered. But here's the good news. Every infirmity that we have today will be gone in our glorified bodies. Isn't that wonderful? Everything will work perfectly one day. Huh? Oh. Even my hearing will work perfectly one day. You did respond. But not every infirmity will be cured in our natural bodies. Think about this for just a second or two. This man was 30 years at least of age. Why didn't he get cured earlier? This is taking place in Jerusalem. Jesus had been to Jerusalem many times before. Being God, he knew the existence of this person. He knew what his calamities, his infirmities, his problems were. Maybe Jesus just didn't have compassion on him in previous times. Is that possible? Matthew's shaking his head back there. You are absolutely correct. The love of God never wavers. Maybe Jesus just didn't have time. He was too busy. No? You don't buy that one easy? Maybe it just wasn't in the time of God for this to take place. Wouldn't it be nice if all those things took place today? But they don't. Does that mean that God doesn't care for you? No, it simply means not yet. Maybe not in this lifetime. God put this person born from his mother's womb in this condition for 30 years until the time was right to accomplish his purposes. Every infirmity will be cured in those glorified bodies, but not necessarily in our natural ones. But the good news is this. Every infirmity can be cured by the miraculous power of God, but may not necessarily be in his will. But with every infirmity brings the grace of God to deal with it. How do you get by for 30 plus years? Well, consider another question. Turn over in your Bibles, if your Bible was like mine, it's on the next page, verse 32. Again, the questioning is going on with the Pharisees. But the question goes back to the Pharisees concerning this miracle. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Not only for 30 years was this fellow blind, but for 4,000 years, if Usher's dating of creation is correct. No one who was born blind was ever cured. How did people survive during that period of time? Only by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about his own infirmities, his own thorn in the flesh. And he said because of the revelations that he would come to, the possibility is that he could get all puffed up and think that he was something great, but in order to keep a humble spirit in him, God gave him this infirmity. And he said, I prayed at least 3 times that the Lord would take it away. After all, it's keeping me from doing what I need to do. Or at least I think so. And the response of God is, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. This defect only gave opportunity for that person to experience the sustaining grace of God. Well, from a physical standpoint, how did that happen? Drop on back to the passage, verses 7 and 8. John chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. He comes and he's seeing. Verse 8 says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? This poor boy, or young man at this point in time, was reduced to supplying for himself by begging. Not being able to see, there was very little that he could do productivity-wise that would bring enough income to support himself. So he sat and he begged. And people would go by day after day after day. And they might say something like, oh, look at that poor soul. And genuinely mean it. Oh, I feel so sorry for him. And some would come along and say, well, here's a denarii and we want to help you out. And apparently it was enough each day to supply for his physical needs. But those things could never bring a cure of his condition. What did? Well, he heard the word of God. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He coupled that with faith in that the one who was telling him what to do could do something. And he went and he washed and he came seeing. Whenever man takes the word of God and applies it to his faith or applies faith to the word of God, it always brings life. Always. And here this man, 30 years old or older, now comes seeing. Do you think he enjoyed his sight? Do you think he marveled at the world around him, having never seen it before? Leslie, you said, oh, you enjoy seeing all the fall colors. Have you ever seen them before? You've seen them before, have you? Imagine if you have never seen them before. Seeing them for the very first time. Wouldn't your mouth just drop? Can you imagine the awe that this man had for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, it wasn't a birth defect. It wasn't a birth effect that caused his man to glory in a wonderful Savior like no one else around him was doing. We look at life and we say, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Well, yeah, perspective though. Could it be an opportunity for God to do something special? Could be. And when he does, oh, is it special? Perspective. Don't get all upset when things go wrong. God could be waiting to do something spectacular. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your sustaining grace. That these bodies that aren't perfect are maintained by your love and by your care. We thank you for the promise that one day these bodies will be transformed. That they will be absolutely perfect. and the world of which you've created will be too. We look forward to that day, and we say with the Apostle John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But Lord, as we go through the trials of life, when we see the things that aren't the way that we would hope that they might be, may we not be discouraged by saying something is defective, but look for an opportunity to see the grace of God in something that therefore might be effective to the glory of God. Lord, watch over us this week. Watch over us tonight as we travel to our houses. Refresh our bodies tonight with a good night's rest, so that should the day dawn tomorrow, we might be able to be about those things that bring honor and glory to you with vigor and vitality. Use us to show the grace of God to those who need to see it and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this young man 2,000 years ago. We'll praise you as we ask all these things in his wonderful name. Amen. Have a good week.